Exodus chapter 14, if you want to turn, please, in your Bibles, your pew Bibles, to those verses. We're going to begin our reading at verse 6. Let's hear God's word. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Phi-Haroth, opposite Baal-Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that he will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and the cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let us get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and daybreak the sea went back to its place, and the Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. And the waters flowed back and covered the chariots and the horsemen and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. Let's pray together. Lord, today we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak into our hearts and set us gloriously free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some things are just an inconvenience. Other things are impossible. If you had been an Israelite, this was a dark day. You had known many previous dark days up until this one, but it doesn't get much worse. In fact, they had filtered out of their memory some of the difficulty they had had encountered as slaves. It's funny how present-day tragedy can often eclipse the previous difficult days that we have had. In fact, every current crisis is the worst crisis we've ever experienced. And even if that is not true, nevertheless, that's what we experience. And in these moments, that's what the Israelites were experiencing. They had had hundreds of years of bad history. They'd had unforgettable experiences in Egypt. They'd had to undergo oppression. They were not the masters of their own decisions. They suffered from cruelty, from the burden of work, from many of the difficulties and plights of slavery. They had been given a promise that they would be delivered, but they didn't expect the deliverance to involve the Red Sea. It was an impossible situation. Right there, in the midst of that predicament, they could hear the chariots. They could feel underneath the pounding of the horses' hooves. There was an angry Pharaoh who had commissioned his best officers. He had mobilized his military. This was the day that the Israelites would die. They had escaped, and they would be brought to a rapid conclusion. And as the Israelites stood there, women and children, Aunt Moses, they could hear what would be their impending disaster. What choice were they left with? A choice of how to die. You either try to get into the Red Sea and cross the Red Sea and lose your children, or your wife, or your husband, or your brother, or your sister. You may possibly make it to the other side, but it's unlikely that you will, and certainly you will lose those that are traveling with you. There will be chaos and confusion, and they will hear the cries of the children in the water. They will see people drift away or drown as a result of their adventure. But they look back and they can only see an army, a fierce and strong army that are ruthless, that held them in bondage for hundreds of years and will not spare or show mercy when they arrive. They will then see their women and children being slaughtered. And the blood will fill the rivers and the sea. What choice do we have? Moses, you brought us here to die. Was there not enough graves in Egypt? A poignant line. You're asking us to choose which death today. Swim or be killed. Which is it, Moses? It's no wonder Moses was a man of faith. Stretch out your hand, Moses. And do what? Just stretch it out. Moses had no idea what God was going to do. But he trusted God enough to do something. It might have appeared foolish. Stretch out your hand. Give me a sword. At least allow me to die with dignity and valor. Put a mighty sword in this hand. No, just stretch it out. And he did. And as a Sunday school, as you've gone to Sunday school, or as you have been brought up within Christian circles, you know the story. Wonderful story of how God parted the Red Sea. And he walked across. Every woman, every child, every man. And God dealt with the opposing army. What can we quickly learn from this story today? There are a number of things. There's one at the level of salvation, which is true for all of us. And there's one at a very personal level as we face our own impossibilities. It wasn't long before the church began to realize the significance of Egypt and the wilderness journey and the crossing of the Red Sea and Cana, the Promised Land. You didn't need to be a clever theologian. You just needed to realize that it was illustrative of something much bigger than just the deliverance of the Israelites. This was a message to humanity. A great and wonderful illustration of life and of God's intervention of the possibilities against all impossibilities. It is a wonderful story. The Israelites have reached the end of the road. They are powerless to change their current situation. As it is, they're standing, choosing which death. Am I going to die in the sea, or am I going to be killed by a marauding army? Am I going to die by the sword, or am I going to drown? And we are faced in our human brokenness with impossibilities, weaknesses, disillusionment, disheartenment, dissatisfaction, impotency at all levels in human existence. We are not the controllers of our own destiny, though the efforts we make and the attempts that we erect in order to bring about our own happiness, our own conclusions to life, evade us, like trying to grasp the wind or the air, as Ecclesiastes talked about. Sometimes we reach that place in our life where there's no good or right decision that we can make that's going to alter or change anything. We are at life's end. We have come to realize that everything without God is meaningless. It doesn't bring us the happiness that we sought after. And we can't change it. And it wasn't long before Christian writers started to tie together the fact that we're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That we're born as slaves to sin, to its impulses, to its desires. And it leads us to a destructive place that we cannot change. And our choices over the years diminish. And isn't that a picture of life without God? Aren't we standing in the desert, looking behind us and looking in front of us and saying, where can we go from here? How can we change this? I've reached an impossible place. And there isn't anything that I physically, emotionally can do to change the world that I live in. It's a heavy burden that I cannot bear. It has chains that I cannot break. And you and I have been perhaps in that situation, or are in that situation, or know of others that are contending with that situation. Their lives have no purpose, no meaning, no direction, no escape. There's no route out. They have tried every possible avenue and it has led them to a cul-de-sac. And yet right here in this passage, we are given an illustration of a battle that was never fought by human beings. The cloud separated the two armies. The Israelites, who were defenseless, but who would have tried to engage with their enemies should they have sought to turn back. God would not allow them to engage with the Egyptians. That would have been pure slaughter. In his grace and in his mercy, the cloud descended in such a way that those two armies were separated. And God was saying to his people, and to Moses in particular, this is not a battle that you can fight nor win in human strength. I cannot arm the Israelites with swords. I have something much better planned. If the Israelites try to forge their own destiny, if they look back on what they have left and they decide to confront their enemies, they will die today at this Red Sea. But I will shield you long enough to show you what my purposes and plans truly are. And so in the midst of that potential conflict, they never engaged the Egyptian army. God came in between them both. And the first lesson was that the Israelites did not possess the answer, but God did. The Israelites did not possess the weapons that could bring about their victory, but God did. The Israelites were powerless against the Egyptians, but God was all powerful over everything. And our human journey that leads us to God, if we allow that to be the case, brings us to a position in our lives when we know that we cannot change the impossible. We cannot change our sin. Our sin has broken us. We may try to limit its damage, but we cannot reverse it. We are in a position of impossibilities. And God steps into the midst of all of that. And he said, do not fight this. Allow me to fight it for you. Allow me to be your deliverer. Allow me to be your redeemer. Allow me to be the one that will transform your life and your future and give you hope and a purpose. Allow me. And have you reached that point of where in your desperation you're willing to do what you're instructed to do? And Moses said to them that day, the Lord will deliver us. And Moses lifted his staff, and the water separated. And they walked on dry ground. And it still took faith to do that because there were walls of water on either side of them. And rather than run across, they walked across. Because God was going to sustain them as he took this journey through the Red Sea. Though they could see the risks of the water that could encompass them, they believed that God would sustain them on this journey until they reached their destination. What a wonderful picture of salvation we have in this passage. God the deliverer, God who creates the way, God who opens up our route of escape out of this world of sin and brokenness and destruction, out of this world of emptiness and despair and heartache and pain. He opens up a way. He opens up a route where there appears to be none. And Moses believed that in faith he would lift the staff and that God would provide a way, and that way would lead him into the land of promise. And you and I are left at that waterside in our lives today. Maybe you're not a Christian. You're standing at the waterside. You're left with impossible choices. Either way, you're going to experience death. Either way, you're going to experience destruction. Either way, you're going to be bereft of peace and joy and satisfaction. You have failed to provide for your life what God can provide. You have not received the satisfaction that you've been seeking. You're still in your sin. You're still separated from God. There is a route before you that you need to take, a way that has been opened up that only God provide. And it's a route that you're going to have to take by faith. You're going to have to step on the dry ground. You're going to have to look at the walls of water that either side of you and say you trust God enough to reach your destination. That's what the journey begins like, and that's what the journey is like. And you're standing at the waterside today, and you need to take a step into that dry ground. You need to trust God enough to begin this journey. It began with the very first Israelite that took a step towards the water. And it begins today with you taking your step towards God and saying, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I have never been able to change my life. I've never been able to transform it. I've never been able to provide for it what you can. I am faced with impossible choices, and I cannot see a way out unless you create one for me. And God has already done it because he has provided his son to die for your sin. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. And we cross it together. And he enables us to do just that. Lastly, you're a Christian here today, and you can not see your way through any of this. Because we all have those days and periods in our journey of where we've come up against the sea and all the risks and fears that it involves as we look at its raging torrents, and we see our past slaveries that have imprisoned us, and some of the memories and the moments and the agitators that come after us, and we're overcome with fear. We cannot get through this. This is an impossibility. God said, yes, it is. And that's why I'm here. Because I do the impossible. When you think you can't survive, I sustain you. You just got to keep trusting me. Who keeps these walls of water back? You're walking in faith, are you not? The moment you took a step out and walked across on dry land, I didn't put up scaffolding and build a wall of brick. You could clearly see the water. You could clearly see the risks. You could clearly see what I was attempting to do. I didn't build a safety net. I asked you to take a step of faith. Who holds these walls of water back? Do you do it, or do I do it? God says, I do it. He didn't put a curtain up so that you wouldn't see the dangerous waters. He just said, I hold them fast, and you're not going to get your feet wet. Just keep walking. Keep trusting. Keep obeying me, and I'll hold the walls of water in place. That's what he calls us to do as we walk through life. Trust him enough. In the midst of all that we're going through, we're never alone. He walks with us. He walks with us. And that will never change. Regardless of what's going on in the background, regardless of all your fears and anxieties, regardless of all of life's traumas and difficulties, he holds the water in place. You're not going to drown. He hasn't brought you this far to leave you there. When they started that journey, God knew its end. He wanted them to go into the promised land. And that was just a phase in the journey. But they needed to trust him. And all their life they needed to do that. Whether it was eating manna in the desert or walking over dry ground with walls of water. They needed to do that. And so do you and so do I. There are people sitting here today who think they can't get through another moment. The night is too dark. The grief too difficult. The anxiety too embedded. The fear too vivid. None of that is true. It's very real. And it zaps every element of human strength that we possess. And it would be overpowering if it wasn't for this one fact, that God promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. And whilst your circumstance may never change, that fact always remains. I will not leave you. One difference in this story. In the incarnation, he made his dwelling amongst us. And when I look at this illustration today, now Jesus walks with me on dry ground. And can you imagine that scene if it was updated? He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Could you imagine if that was the 12 disciples that were standing at that waterside? Jesus didn't say to them, walk across and I'll join you later. I can see a picture of Jesus stepping in and onto the dry ground and say, who's coming? Follow me. Who holds these walls of water? But that's my Father. That's my Father does this. Isn't he great? Look at that. That's going to stay in place. And how do I know that? Because I know the Father. I'm not frightened. And neither should you be. He's never let anyone down. And he never could. I'm testimony to that fact. You see, when I was on the cross, when I could have been so easily abandoned to the grave, I rose from the dead. What are you frightened of? Even if these walls of water collapsed, we'd all rise anyway. But that's not going to happen. Because he said it wouldn't. These walls of water will stay in place. We're walking across it. God won't let you down. God is with you. Jesus walks beside you. These walls will not tumble, and you will not be a victim. This battle is yours to win. Let us pray.